News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, hey, by the way, if you are a social media maven, you might want to check out our social media. So, yeah, you can go to rightsideradio.org. It's got the links to all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of it. I got a new Instagram video. We started doing a thing called Sunday Philosophy. You like that? Phil Williams, Philosophy, get it? Okay. Thank you, Copper, for the obligatory golf laugh. anyway, so that's up usually on Sunday. So it's Sunday Philosophy. That one went up yesterday. But the like little minute and a half videos. But then at the same time, we've got lots of stuff happening on the Twitter account, which is still active. Even though I got locked out last week for daring to say that ivermectin is an effective medication for use in treating COVID. No way. That doesn't meet the smell test, apparently, according to the Twitter police, which are still in effect right now. All that stuff, though, every bit of it, rightsideradio.org. You can find all of our stuff on there, to include, by the way, if you get outside of the overly broad range of our AM/FM capabilities, it does not matter. All you got to do is go to that website, rightsideradio.org, and click on Listen Live. And no matter where you is, there we is what I always say. So, yeah, check it out. Rightsideradio.org is the website. Got our podcast on there, too. Podcast, oh man, we got a ton of people doing the podcast. Let's see where we are today. Yep, 46,348. So we're gonna push. We could be at 50 by the end of this week.
Woohoo! Nice.
I'm just saying that could be an epic big day. We'll see.
You get those T-shirts yet?
Copper, don't say that out loud. All right, we're working on that. But speaking of T-shirts, by the way, on the website you've also got the Right Side Store. So check that out. Order coffee mugs, stickers, Right Side T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. So yes, all of that and more at rightsideradio.org. So I did the whole thing there on the First Amendment, and I really did feel like, okay, I need to do a series. I mean, you can't just, you know, with the Bill of Rights, there's 10 of them. You can't just do one. Now, I'm not going to do all 10. Some of them are a little bit more esoteric. They're all important, but some of them are far more famous than others. Let's put it that way. But we're going to do that, and I'm going to do 5 days in a row where I take an amendment to the U.S. Constitution enshrined in the Bill of Rights, and take that a step further, and just kind of outline it and give it some credence, some meaning, some depth, some relevance, if you will, and try to convey the impact of why it was necessary to even have it. Well, right now we're seeing things happening in the wake of this leaked opinion from the Supreme Court of the United States, the one that deals with Roe v. Wade, and it seems to imply that we're looking at, in the next couple of months, we may finally see the day that Roe v. Wade is overturned and the decision about abortion is handed back to the states. Well, we're seeing the usual freak show from the left. Now, the other day, I put something on social media. There's my Twitter account again, at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N. I put something on Twitter about the fact that, I take it back, my video on Sunday was about the fact that protesting at someone's house is harassment. It's not protesting. When you are going to try and intimidate their family, you're in a different category, in my opinion. You're a harasser at that point. You're not there just to make your voices heard. You could have done that in the public square. You could have stood out on the steps of the Supreme Court. No, you went to their house. You tried to engage their spouse and their children. You tried to stomp on their grass and kick over their mailbox. You're trying to make the dog keep barking at you. That's different. You're a harasser at that point. And I would say that at the very least, even though some of that might be protected, might be protected, that at the very least, it's one of those things where if you look at it, just because you can doesn't mean you should. There has to be some level of decorum, some level of the ability to actually have discourse. But if you're going to go burn down a pro-life headquarters in Wisconsin and paint graffiti on the wall that says, if abortions aren't safe, then neither are you, you're no longer a protester. You're not. You're a harasser. You're a criminal. Now, freedom of speech, listen, that's huge, y'all. I mean, look at me. I've got a job here. 3 hours a day, I get to speak. I get to speak my mind with a microphone, and I know it's an honor to have this platform. I say it that way all of the time, and I mean it when I say it. But the reality is that if we're going to take our speech and turn it into threats and epithets and incitations for violence, or incitements for violence. That's a better word. Then the reality is we are shifting gears and we're moving away from what is considered to be protected. I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute. But the whole first part of the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it pro-life protest. I almost tried to play with the words. I was going to call it like protest test pro-life or something like that. But I thought, no, too much. Copper's got to be able to type that in, so I'm not going to mess with it. But anyway, number one, the Triple Dipper pro-life protest. We're going to be talking about that. What's happening? What does the law say about it? What are they doing? What can they get away with? What are they getting away with? And really, should they? Yeah, lots more to come on that. I would also say this, too. Had the ruling come out and then they had gone to the justices' homes, it would have still been wrong, but it would not have been bordering on illegal. The fact that the opinion has not been rendered and they are protesting at their house is, I believe, where they have overstepped. And they might be in violation of federal law. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So yeah, we are coming back now into number one of the Triple Dipper, talking about pro-life protests. I've got a caller on line three already. Oh, it's Jeff from Indiana. Jeff, how you doing today, man?
Good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
I think you're a little bit confused. You think that the legislature writing laws and that the judicial system trying to to decree laws or whatever, I guess, to hand down judgments has can do anything without the executive branch enforcing any laws.
Well, that is true.
I mean, they can. Yeah. So, I mean, let's go to the liberal justices and protest in front of their houses and try to get them to change their mind to vote in favor of getting rid of Roe v. Wade. And let's see how fast people get arrested then.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they would form a new January 6th commission, and that the U.S. Marshals and the FBI and other examples of federal law enforcement would be all over it like white on rice.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get to the point, I believe, just like in Los Angeles, it's legal basically to go steal up to $1,000 right now. I guess they won't prosecute you. So
it is. It is.
I mean, there's a law.
It's unreal.
Excuse me. Go ahead. Yeah. So I mean, it's going to come down to where people's going to have to start enforcing the laws themselves. I guess it'd be just like if somebody was shooting at you. And the cops stood by and just let them shoot at you. Now, if somebody is a legal gun owner and they shoot the person that's shooting at you, would they be prosecuted?
Well, it depends on where you are. You got stand your ground laws and castle doctrine laws in various states, Alabama included. Just depends on where you are.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's going to come down to the people's going to have to enforce the laws themselves. I know that sounds crazy, but if the cops don't get to enforce the laws and the executive branch don't enforce the laws, then what do you do?
Well, and it's a great question, and I hope it doesn't come to that. And we got to watch out for vigilantism. You can't go hunting people down trying to prosecute them for crimes that you believe they committed because you're not empowered to do that. At the same time, though, if someone breaks into your house, you have a right of self-defense. And like I said earlier, the Castle Doctrine would certainly apply if they were armed and you had the imminent threat of harm to you or your family. But, Jeff, I mean, you're right. The truth of the matter is that the executive branch is supposed to be assisting with the enforcement. And, You know, right now, you're hearing nada. You can't even get the president to acknowledge what's happening. Jen Psaki's too busy saying, well, he believes in peaceful protest. Well, this is not that. This is not that at all. He's literally ghosting on the subject. It's an abdication of leadership, in my opinion. The executive branch is not doing his job.
Exactly. And I don't know how you remedy that.
I think we remedied it in 2024 and put somebody in who will. And, you know, in fact, that matter, even the executive branch at the federal level has to deal with the executive branches at the state and local level. You remember Trump kept saying, I'm going to send in, you know, the military. I'm going to send in federal law enforcement to Portland, Oregon. And they kept saying, no, you can't. And so he didn't, except when it came to the federal courthouse. He could defend that one. And he did.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, brother. Appreciate the call. Thanks, as always. We appreciate you. All right. That's Jeff from Indiana, one of our great callers who he's always got good content when he calls. But he's right. There is a complete abdication of leadership on the part of the executive branch right now. The Biden administration is not doing its job. But we see that in other places. I mean, right here in Alabama, you can look at it and go, okay, Governor Ivey wants to expand the gaming laws to allow more casinos. She's not been enforcing the law against the illegal casinos in the state as it is. I mean, the executive branch, the legislative branch has the power of the purse. The executive branch has the power of enforcement. And the judicial branch has the power of construing things as a matter of law and upholding or denying something as constitutional in its standing. Three co-equal branches of government. They're supposed to work together. It doesn't always work that way. But you know what's funny? If you stop and think about it, when the president of the United States gives a State of the Union address, everybody comes to one place. They come to hear what the executive has to say. There's nobody right now going to hear what the justices have to say. And there's nobody going and checking to see what it is that the legislative branch has to say. They all come to hear what the executive has to say. Maybe the executive ought to say something. Because the bully pulpit really does mean, you know, a lot. And leadership, by the way, there's an old phrase, as goes the king, so goes the country. Well, right now, the king's going away. The king ain't doing nothing. And he is nowhere to be found. He's probably at his house in Delaware again. For some reason, the First Lady is in Ukraine. No one can figure that out. Why is she there? Why is the First Lady of the United States in Ukraine? Charlene and I were talking about that just this morning or last night. Why is the First Lady there by herself? She's not part of a larger delegation. She didn't travel with her husband. She's not an elected official. She's not even a member of the State Department appointed for any purpose or duty. She's just the First Lady, and she's in the war zone, and no one can figure out why. Okay. Thanks, Dr. Jill, for going over there, and we're not sure what you're doing there, except creating an issue for the Secret Service to have to worry about. All right, let me jump into my topic, because up at the top of the hour, State Representative Terry Collins will be calling in. And listen, and we may wind up lapping past this, because I just realized I've talked several minutes into my time, but not the least of which was a call with Jeff, and that's always good. So, story off the post-millennial. I know you guys are probably seeing this, because I'm talking to people, a lot of whom watch the news as it is. But the post-millennial dated this weekend, Saturday. Pro-abortion activists in Virginia and Maryland on Saturday gathered around the homes of Supreme Court justices who were signed on to the draft opinion leaked earlier this week that could overturn Roe v. Wade. Activists had vowed to protest outside the homes of those justices. They gathered in the evening light outside of Brett Kavanaugh's home chanting, "We will not go back," and picketing with signs. Kavanaugh was also the subject of often violent protests during his confirmation hearing in 2018. And it says that legal analyst Jonathan Turley reported that it was Kavanaugh's neighbor. This is great. Well, how about that? See you at the mailbox, friend. It was Kavanaugh's neighbor that organized the protest at his home. But once police officers got there, the activists began to dissipate. Here's my question. Why weren't the police officers already there? I would assume they have a security detail in general. Maybe they waited to see, but if you already got indications by open statements that they intend to, you know, to go to these places and do these things, maybe you go ahead and stack up the security detail in advance. Postmillennial also reporting as of yesterday. Justice Samuel Alito and family moved to an undisclosed location. This is not the way it's supposed to work. It shouldn't have to be like this. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, who wrote the leaked draft opinion in the Dobbs v. Jackson case, which is in all the controversy right now, he and his family reportedly been moved to an undisclosed location due to concerns for their safety. Earlier in the week, Alito canceled an appearance at the Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals Judicial Conference. The activists are also targeting Chief Justice John Roberts, as well as Brett Kavanaugh. Legal analyst Jonathan Turley, again, talking about it, said that it was his neighbor, apparently, who organized the protest. The protest began at a cafe in Chevy Chase, Maryland, where they marched from there to the homes of Roberts and Kavanaugh. Not supposed to happen that way. Got a caller on line four. Let me grab that real quick before we go to the break. Richard from Madison. Hey, Richard, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
You know, you asked the question, why weren't the police already there? I want to know, why didn't the police arrest anybody?
Yeah. Well, and that's a great question.
I looked it up myself. I'm not a very educated man when it comes to this stuff, so I'm having to look a lot of stuff up. But there is a law that I found that says it's illegal to do this. It's illegal to go to a judge's house or a witness's house or anything like that for the purposes of intimidating and other things.
Yeah, and 18 U.S. Code, Section 1507. Absolutely. And I'm about to cover that next. And the question I have is, you're right. The question I have is the same as yours. Why is no one being arrested? At the very least, why aren't the ringleaders being arrested?
Why is the media perpetuating all of this and letting this go and saying, oh, they're justified. The First Amendment allows them to do that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the First Amendment.
Not really.
Exactly. Not really. When you incite violence or use it to use your rights to infringe upon someone else's rights or to impede the lawful progress of judicial activity like this. And by the way, Richard, I think that it would be different. I think if the opinion had truthfully come out and actually been released, like the real opinion, like they were done, and then they protested after the fact, they might be able to argue that they're not there to impede the progress of the court. But in this case, they're there to intimidate prior to the opinion being issued, and I think that makes a difference.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, you do a great show. I love your show. Thank you so much.
Hey, Richard, thanks so much. Appreciate you being in the audience. But he's right. Richard makes a great point. There it is. 18 U.S. Code, Section 1507. I was about to bring that up next, so that was a perfect segue. 18 U.S. Code, Section 1507, as to picketing or parading. You ready? Whoever, with the intent of interfering with, obstructing, or impeding the administration of justice, or with the, here's the operative piece, intent of influencing any judge in the discharge of his duty, pickets or parades in or near a building housing a court of the United States, in or near a building or residence occupied or used by such judge, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. And I'm just telling you, folks, that's what we're seeing right now. That is what we're seeing. If you want to look it up, 18 U.S. Code, Section 1507. Now, I'm going to go ahead and take a break right now, Copper. Let's do that. When I come back, I'll expand on that a little bit more. If that's the law, do we have the ability to interpret it? Can someone make the case on this? I would dare say that law enforcement is looking for something that truly creates violence or destruction. But the truth is, they've already got what they need. If the goal of the people is to say, change your opinion, don't do this thing, because it hasn't been done yet. That's the operative piece we got to consider. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Time now, 2:53 p.m., coming up top of the hour. After the news break, we're going to have Representative Terry Collins, State Representative Terry Collins, will be on with us. She was the sponsor of the 2019 abortion law, which, you know, became a landmark law. Alabama now has on their books one of the toughest abortion laws in the state, in the nation. And that has put us in, you know, strong territory in terms of, you know, being a state that says we as a people do not stand for abortion. Now, that doesn't mean everybody agrees, but what I'm saying is that state majority electorate put people in office who deemed it necessary to pass that bill. There's some interest in apparently mitigating it, changing it, softening it. We'll talk to Terry Collins and see what she says. And it seems to be counter to what Eric Johnston said on the show. He was the author of the bill on the show Friday. But yeah, we'll cover that at top of the hour with Terry Collins. I got to tell you, I'm looking right now at Twitter. Representative Jim Jordan, his Twitter account, he says, when can we expect Attorney General Garland's memo condemning the protests at Supreme Court Justices' homes? Or does the National School Board Association need to write a letter to the Biden White House first? that was an epic own. You know, those of y'all, I think everybody remembers, but that's relation to the fact that it was too scary for moms to go to school board meetings and speak out against, you know, critical race theory and things like that. It was scary. So the National School Board Association wrote a letter to the Biden administration. Next thing you know, the DOJ is launching a task force to review it and calling them domestic terrorists. Well, we can't even get the Biden administration right now to acknowledge the fact that Supreme Court justices are facing threats and intimidation at their own homes. At their homes, for crying out loud. So here's a story off the New York Post. New York Post title is Abortion Protests Biden Won't Condemn at Docked SCOTUS Homes May Be Illegal. Well, I just quoted to you a moment ago 18 U.S. Code Section 1507 that does seem to indicate that if you are attempting to influence the outcome of a legal proceeding by going to a justice's home, that you may indeed be guilty of a violation of federal law. Well, according to the New York Post and the article I just pulled up and rattled in my microphone, dated May 6, which was Friday, the protests that were then being planned, which have now been occurred, might not be protected under the First Amendment. They could be illegal, and they also cite the same provision of the U.S. Code that I just did. A group called Ruth Sent Us, which is in some kind of an ode to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who I'm sure would support this level of violent activism. Yes, certainly. Ruth Sent Us did not respond to requests from the Post on additional details regarding the demonstrations, but it says on Friday, here's the kicker, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was pressed on whether the president wants the protesters to influence the justices to uphold Roe v. Wade as he pushes for Congress to codify it into law. Her response, weak as usual, the president believes in peaceful protest. He believes that's part of our democracy and part of the history of the United States in this country. Well, it is, Jen. It is. But going to the houses of Supreme Court justices and protesting out front in an attempt to intimidate and influence them prior to an official opinion being issued is not what we stand for as a people. Thank you very much. The president believes in peaceful protests, but he also respects and understands the independence of the third branch of government. And I mean, obviously, the Justice Department, but also the role of the Supreme Court and what they play. Blah, 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 word salad, blah, 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 blah. Here's the part. So I wouldn't say he has a view on that. He believes in peaceful protest, but they're not going to make this, but they're going to make decisions they make, and we're not going to prejudge a final opinion. What the frick does that even mean? That was like a whole lot of wasted air. That's like 10 seconds of my life I'll never get back for having to read it out loud. So thehill.com dated, this is dated Saturday. TheHill.com points out the fact that literally the title of it is From Court Packing to Leaking to Doxing, the White House Yields to a National Rage Addiction. And it's true, because in reality, it points out in this article by Jonathan Turley, says in not having an official position on doxing and harassing Supreme Court justices and their families, it is a policy. And that's true, because at the time when you're asked and you refuse or you decline to take the opportunity to speak to it, you have just announced your position. It's like the old thing I used to hear in the military, no decision is a decision for no. Sometimes you got to make a decision. And for the Biden administration to say, well, we won't take an opinion on that right now. You just did. You just did. Because by doing so, you have stood idly by, closed your eyes, and allowed it to happen, which is an acquiescence. And by the way, acquiescence is like saying yes to it, Mr. President. You don't have the luxury of saying no. You got elected to be a leader. But once again, we're seeing proof that Joe Biden has never led a thing in his entire life. And it comes out every single day. All right, folks, more of this when we get done. But right now, we're going to take a break and come right back with State Representative Terry Collins from the Decatur area. She's a member of the Republican Party in the Alabama State House, the sponsor of the legislation passed in 2019 that became one of the strongest pro-life laws in the nation. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.